Before we jump into the episode, we wanted to tell you that we have written a book.
It's called Have You Tried This? And it's out now.
It's a one-stop shop to self-care featuring only the very best of what we have learned over 4 years of living and experimenting with all that the wellness world has to offer.
Plus a load of new practices written just for the book. And the best thing?
Every single practice in the book is completely free, and every practice in there really will improve your mental health and well-being.
Link is in our show notes.
Hello everybody, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Laura Mishcon, and welcome to Self Care Club.
We have got quite a gift for you today.
We're going to be talking about rudeness.
When is it appropriate to be rude? Is it ever? And our first guest today is a wonderful lady called Rebecca Reed, and she is an award-winning freelance journalist and the author of the novels Perfect Liars, Truth Hurts, Two Wrongs, and The Will, and the non-fiction book The Power of Rude. She is a columnist for the iPaper and a regular contributor to Telegraph Culture. She is the former digital editor of Grazia magazine and has previously written for Stylist, The Independent, The Guardian, The Times, Marie Claire, The New Statesman and Glamour magazine. She regularly contributes to Good Morning Britain, Sky News and various BBC radio programmes. She holds an MA in creative writing from Royal Holloway, and we spoke at length with her about her book, The Power of Rude, and here is what she had to say.
Rebecca, welcome to Self Care Club.
Thank you for having me.
We're delighted. So I came across you because there was an article fairly recently about Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyn, who we talk about
on
endlessly.
A regular basis, weekly, daily, if we could.
On the reg. Whatever she does, we're on top of it. And she expressed in the press that when she gets angry, she copes by getting a plastic bat from Amazon and hitting stuff. She revealed this on an Instagram Q&A when a fan asked her how she releases repressed healthy anger. And she said she has a soft and delicate nervous system. And she said she's developed a practice to release anger. It's very important, especially for women who were raised that expressing anger wasn't ladylike and not something that we should do. And she said she's very bad when it came to expressing her anger. I'm still not great at it, she admitted, but it's an incredibly important part of my mental health to release anger in a healthy way. And you responded in the I newspaper with a whole lot of stuff that I thought was brilliant, which is why we had to get you on the show to talk about that and to talk about anger.
I think it was a really interesting comment, and you know, she was just on a plane waiting to take off and she was doing a Q&A, so it wasn't, you know, she didn't put, it wasn't sort of something that she'd meditated on a great deal, but I think it was a really interesting prompt to think about how anger exists in our lives. And while I don't necessarily feel that the rage bat is the best way of dealing with anger, and I think it says some worrying things about female anger, at least she's thinking about it and at least she's including it in her life, which is a lot more than most of us do. The majority of us try to swallow our anger all day, every day. So I do think, as is so often the case with Gwyneth, the execution might not be exactly what I would have signed off on, but the impetus is really good and really, really important.
Why do you think it's concerning that she's taken to a plastic toy to release her anger?
So I think the things that make you angry day to day don't exist in a vacuum, and they're broadly speaking not unimportant or irrelevant to your wider life. So if you are feeling that you are very angry with your children very often, that is probably because you're not getting the right level of support from your partner or other people around, or that perhaps you have created a situation where your children regularly and significantly behave in unkind or inappropriate ways. So the issue isn't for you to wait until your kids have gone to school and then take out the rage bat, beat up a couple of cushions and then put a smile on again. It's to think about, what help am I not getting that I need? Have I accidentally pseudo general parented my way into having kids who are dicks? Like, what's the real problem here and how do I address it? But I think the rage bat puts the responsibility on the person feeling the anger to just try and get it out and then carry on, when in reality, you usually need to think about, where is it coming from? Why is it happening? And how can I prevent it from happening again?
Yeah.
I'm also a great believer that your anger or any emotion, if it's sadness, happiness, despair, anything, that's always information into what's going on in your emotional system and your well-being, right?
Absolutely. And it's a vital sign. Anger, like sadness and like anxiety, are emotional vital signs. And if you ignore it, then you are ignoring your internal mechanisms trying to tell you something. And any time, and you know, it's difficult that I have anxiety in a medical sense. So I find it very difficult to listen to my instincts, because sometimes my instinct is everything's going to go wrong when it's actually just Tuesday. But I think accepting the fact that obviously if you have any kind of mental health issues, you don't learn to trust your brain completely. Where possible, it is important to try to listen to these things. That doesn't mean they're rational. Like I have an absolute rage about my boyfriend blowing his nose. It just makes me want to murder him. That's not a that now that is not a problem with him blowing his nose, but that does mean that something is dysregulated there. And again, I think the more that you're able to give credence to, no, it's not my sister's fault that she irritates me massively when she does XYZ, but the fact that I'm having such a visceral reaction to it means something is off. So I need to analyze that rather than just trying to like treat the symptom, get the rage out, and then shove it all back down.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, if I had a rage bat and I smashed up a room, firstly, no one else is going to tidy up that room afterwards,
yeah,
apart from me. And also, I don't really like to make mess, but that's the whole thing. It's like, you can have the anger, but then who's clearing it up? Well, you are.
Yeah.
So to me, it's an utterly pointless exercise.
Well, I think being angry and being destructive, two different, completely different things, aren't they?
But the rage bat is a sort of physical way of expressing the anger or getting it out. But you're only dealing with the immediate feeling. You're not dealing with that underlying issue of what it is that has made you feel angry. And I do think women are more predisposed to repressing their anger than men. And I think that probably stems from childhood, because boys are taught to be more physical and there is more play fighting encouraged and general physical play. And I think, you know, I mean, take it, strip it right back. You've got like soldiers and war toys and Nerf guns for the boys, and you've got buggies and baby baths and tiny tears for the girls, right? So we're taught to nurture and mother before we're five, and they're taught to stand up for themselves and fight and express emotion. So it starts early, this stuff.
And also, girls are much more disproportionately penalised for aggression. So girls are much more likely to be punished if they are fighting or arguing. Boys are much more likely to be kind of excused for it. I did a lot of research for it when I wrote the book. And it is really stark, even now, when we're all much more conscious about how we parent and we try very, very hard not to perpetuate the gender stereotypes. You can only control what happens in your home. And outside of that home, there are a lot of people who still really do perpetuate the stereotypes. You're not at school with them all day. All it takes is one person in the class whose dad thinks that boys fight and girls are mums, and those ideologies really leak through. And you can teach your daughter to fight against them. And I was raised in a very feminist household, but all that meant is that I was portrayed as gobby, difficult, argumentative,
and
all of those things. That is a really, really hard battle to pick every day. And I think it became a defining characteristic of my personality. That's why I ended up being a kind of professional feminist rent-a-gob. And I do sometimes wonder what else I might have wanted to do in my life if it hadn't been my job from the age of four to be the one saying, hang on, why are the boys and girls being segregated at birthday parties? What is it that means? Why is that important? And it's exhausting. I find myself exhausting sometimes.
So you wrote a book called The Power of Rude, one of your many books. Tell us a bit about that book. What inspired you to write it, and how we can step more into being a bit ruder?
So my sister is a real people pleaser, so the book is dedicated to Lucy, who really needs to read this. And
has she read it?
I don't think she has. I tried. I did everything I could. But my sister has spent her life trying to be as good as possible all the time. And she finds being around me quite difficult because I'm not like that. And so if we, like, a really easy example, just a throwaway one, is that when I had a newborn, she and I went to Megan's, the food chain, and I tried to get it. And we went in, I had a newborn in a pram. And I said, have we got a table for two? And there were a lot of tables. And the manager went, we've already got so many prams in here. And my sister's instinct was to go, okay, sorry, I'll get it sore. And I was like, Sorry, you run a brunch place in Balham and you're complaining about how many prams you have in here. And he was like, I'm not saying you can't come in. And I was like, yeah, but you are being incredibly rude. Do you understand how alienating that is? And do you understand how difficult it is to get out of the house with a pram? This is your main customer base. These are the people who are tipping you. Why would you speak to me like that? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then
oh,
we went,
wow.
yeah. But I was, admittedly, I was seething with hormones. But I couldn't believe that somebody would, and especially when he was saying you can have a table, it's just annoying for me, there are so many brands. I just thought, how dare you say that? Why would you say that? And you have no idea how difficult this is with raging postnatal depression and having just split up with my husband. The only good thing about today was that I was going to eat some shakshuka. Don't call me.
Also, how stupid. It's their job to serve customers and make money. Don't turn them away.
And you know what? If it had been like a little French bistro with tiny packed together tables, an independent restaurant, I would have thought, I wouldn't have gone in. I would have thought that's not appropriate. This is a family brunch oriented place in one of the most mummy saturated parts of London. Where do you get off? Bit? And it was the fact that he wanted to be casually rude about it while still inviting us in. But my sister was absolutely mortified, like, and she was genuinely like scarlet. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I'm sorry. Otherwise, he thinks it's okay to say that to people. And I've subsequently, in the Balham Mums Facebook group, the number of comments about this same guy who just hates mums all the time. So our dynamic throughout a lot of our teenage years and 20s had been, we would go somewhere, somebody would be rude, we would be, you know, we'd be at a party and some guy would say something dicky about women, and I would get gobby and my sister would be sort of like, why are you like this? And
so interesting that it's still, you still call it getting gobby when actually what you're doing is really standing up to something that is completely wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there is this underlying desire to be liked all the time for everybody. Yes. And I have
especially for women,
because the thing is, as a woman, if people don't like you, there's a better chance they're going to murder you. And yes, that sounds dramatic, but actually the thing that is most likely to kill you in young adulthood as a woman is a male romantic partner.
How delightful. Like, what a lovely statistic.
Isn't
I mean,
it lovely?
Seriously,
it's so nice, isn't it?
Wow,
lovely? Yeah,
wow, that's special.
Yeah. So ultimately, you know, in the same way that I wear a seatbelt when I'm in a car because car crashes kill women, and I get a smear test because cervical cancer kills women, I also keep an eye out that I'm primed to not make a man who might one day turn around and punch me in the face angry. And all of that is self-preservation, but it shouldn't need to be.
No.
But it's no wonder that women end up being having a wide variety of mental health issues, and specifically, though this is a segue, one of the reasons that women are much more likely to be gossipy or bitchy, which are words that you only really hear leveled at women, is because it's a safe outlet for internalized anger, and you're not socialized to be confrontational or direct, so you find somewhere else for it, because anger doesn't stay inside you without doing anything to you. It's corrosive internally. So you need an outlet, and women often don't know what outlets they have, so they have unhealthy outlets. Like, and the rage bat is a fairly healthy example of an impractical outlet. Bitching and gossiping and that kind of emotional warfare is an unhealthy outlet. But anyway, all of that is to say that I was observing every woman I know, even the very like independent-minded feminists, sort of sublimating their rage at all times, and crucially going through life looking to be polite at every opportunity. And most of all, the kind of sense that you were getting like a Uber rating everywhere you went. Like, how good was I in that exchange? How many stars would I have got? How likable was I? How sweet was I? And in order to try to maintain or perpetuate that, women will adopt these kind of Holly Willoughby, Cat Dede TV presenter personas, where you keep it very, you know, you are sweet and polished and kind, and you might make a couple of little jokes, but you keep it right in the center of what's appropriate. You don't push any buttons. You keep your jokes very safe. You keep everything very vanilla to try and make yourself as tolerable and palatable to as many people as possible. And it's just no way to live. It robs you of your creativity. It robs you of the more extreme ends of the spectrum of human emotion, which is really important. And eventually it leaks out in other places, because nobody can be good all the time. So I think it's about learning. And I talk about positive rudeness. You know, there is no excuse for clicking your fingers at a waiter in a restaurant. That's just
rude.
There is no rudeness there that I like. But there is a rudeness, like, actually earlier, I rang the GP surgery because I've got some test results for my daughter and I need to discuss them. And she was like, oh, we might be able to fit you in on Thursday. And there was a time where I would have felt like that is a hardworking person who is being really pushed for time and I shouldn't be rude by pushing them. But what I said was, she is not even 2 years old. These results have been waiting for 5 days for somebody to look at them. This isn't okay, really. She's a baby. I need someone to help me. And she looked, when she went and talked to somebody else, she came back and she was like, cool, we'll call you tomorrow morning. And I talk in the book about how it's easier to be rude for somebody else's benefit. Like when you become a mom, you very often get better at this stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think what you did there is remotely rude. I don't even think it's in the family of rude.
I don't either, actually. I think it's just asking for what you need.
Yeah, but I think there are plenty of people who, when a woman does that, will say she was rude. And yes, I think that was what I really learned in writing The Power of Rude. We can all agree what the unacceptable kind of rude is, but there is an acceptable kind of rudeness, like being direct and assertive, where you will be called that as a woman, even if you're not being.
Well, you'd be called aggressive and pushy, whereas a man would just be called straightforward.
Exactly.
Completely. They'd say he's like a straight shooter. He says it how he is. And they'd say if it was a woman, she's actually quite aggressive.
Exactly.
Quite pushy.
Yeah.
I have this with my husband all the time. So he is very assertive. And if something is not going his way, he will speak up very, very quickly. And he will always say what it is he wants. He will always say what his expectations are. And if they are not being met, he will speak up to it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if like we're in a restaurant, he's never rude. He's just very direct.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not in the mood for it. So I can see it coming and I sort of got my head in my hands. And he always says to me, what? He said, this isn't right. And this doesn't work for me. Therefore, I'm going to try and fix it.
Yeah.
And I often look at why I am embarrassed or why I feel shame really all it is that I don't have that luxury in life, or I don't choose to have that luxury in life in the same way that he does, to walk through it in a way that I can be as direct as him.
It's so true. And so restaurants and hairdressers are the places that I sort of really went to kind of illustrate this stuff. So I will always send something back if it's not what I ordered, or it's cold, or if something's just not great and I've chosen a bad restaurant, that's on me. But if I go somewhere that is generally speaking good and I order something and it's cold, I will say, hi, I'm really sorry. And I will always start with I'm really sorry, which I shouldn't. That's not great work. But in theory, it's perfectly reasonable to say, hi, this is cold. Could I please have it returned to me hot? Or could I please have a new one, which is hot? And I feel like a horrible person when I do that, because I know that when that person goes back to the kitchen, the chef will probably shout at them. So I'm taking the responsibility to try and protect this person from somebody else, which it shouldn't be my job. And it's not my responsibility, but we do it all the time. And it's the same thing. You know, we've all had a haircut at the end where we go, oh, thanks, I love it. And then we go home and cry. Because somebody
that's very British. That's not just female. That's extremely British. Oh, you've dyed my hair green and cropped it. Yeah, thank you. It's great. I hate it.
But I remember my mum, well, the first time I had a bad haircut that I didn't like, my mum was like, okay, well, let's go back and you can say this isn't what I wanted. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And she's like, well, we're gonna. And she taught me to go back and say, hey. And it was, you know, it was a very calm, polite exchange where I just said, I can't remember what the problem was, but this isn't what I wanted. And they're like, okay, cool, we can fix it. And I was like, okay. So this was better than going home and crying about it and feeling cross, because they can fix it and they will fix it. And I've had multiple hair disasters because I have moved to a house a lot and moved hairdressers, which is a terrible mistake. And every time I've said, I need this fixed, they have fixed it. Whereas they've got friends who will go and pay to have it redone somewhere else, which is just ridiculous.
Because they're embarrassed.
Yeah, and because they don't want to be seen as I think part of the problem of the last few years is this idea of Karen culture.
Yeah,
that if you are a woman who particularly, I mean, I don't think it's an age thing even, because you know I the Karen thing came out when I was in my mid late 20s, but it's a stick to beat women with. It is, and the most difficult, exactly, and it's particularly bad for women sort of who are 50 plus, but it's bad for all women. And it is this way of saying, shut up, sit down, shut up, you don't get to complain, you don't get to have an opinion. And there's no word for a male Karen, and I guarantee you men are doing more complaining than women, 100%.
But it's not seen as complaining, is it? It's seen as assertive
or addressing an issue.
It's problem solving. They're being resourceful and powerful and assertive. And that's fixing an issue.
The service industry is one thing, because I have now got to a point where I'm like, actually, I've paid for this.
Yeah.
So if it's not right, I am, in a very polite way, I am going to express that, because this isn't okay. Mm-hmm. But what about in a sort of personal way? Sort of, what about being rude with friends or being rude with family? Yep. Or what does that look like? And how do you feel about that?
The best example that I find for women, particularly in their 20s and 30s, is the hen do and wedding arena. And it is now traditional that you have to, I have 7 weddings this summer. And
wow.
I'm bridesmaid for 2 of them and hen for 3 of them. So of my year, that is like almost a fifth of the weekends are other people's weddings.
Wow. And
I love all those women and I'm really glad I'm doing it. But there is this weird culture that you complain about it nonstop behind someone's back about how expensive it is and how time consuming it is. And you get to the point, it's got to the point now where it's like habit to complain. And I heard a friend of mine being like, and they've got like a wedding list of presents. And I was like, I think that's okay. I think we're just so used to hating this experience that we're just being rude about things now for the sake of it. When in reality, we will have a really nice time and we do love these women. But if we don't want to say yes to things, we can just say no. Like a friend of mine's having her hen do in Mykonos. If I hadn't wanted to go, I am now rude enough that I would have said, that sounds amazing, I can't come. And I'm really, really conscious about trying to never use my child as a reason that I can't do things, because I think it perpetuates this idea that women can't do stuff. So if I'm late, I don't blame her, even if it is because of her. And if I'm not willing to do something, I say, I don't want to, not I can't, because I don't think it's a helpful thing to other women. But I think learning to say, I have a budget for hen do's, I have a holiday allowance budget for weddings, and I'm going to prioritize the people I love and perhaps the more affordable events or the ones that are in the UK. And I'm just going to say no to the things I don't want to do. Mm. What I'm not going to do is say yes and do it with bad grace, because that is the wrong kind of rude. And that is what I see a lot of, is saying yes and then complaining about every single step, because yes. You're torturing yourself, it's damaging your friendship, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money, it's stupid.
And it's also completely disingenuous.
And it's passive aggressive.
Yeah.
It's all those things. And then people don't really understand or know the real you. So it's just an injustice to everybody around you and very much to yourself.
And I think it is really hard to say, no when somebody asks you. I was asked to be a godparent a while back and I didn't really have the emotional or financial resources to have another godchild. I have a lot. I went to all girls school. I've got a lot of like very nice friends who've all popped out nice babies. And I should have said no, because I didn't have the bandwidth to do it. But I didn't say no because I thought it'd be so rude. So I don't always take my own advice. And now I've just been a really mediocre godparent to that child who could have had a much better godparent. And I feel guilty about it all the time.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That's why it's so important.
You just say no. But again, it's a self-preservation thing. It's not, it's about you. It's a selfish, sometimes being polite and being nice is actually selfishness. Because you're not doing somebody the decency of saying, thank you so much for asking me. I've thought about it and I don't think I can. I really am honoured to have been asked, but I'd prefer not to. That's a hard conversation once, and then you're not a shit godparent for the rest of your life.
Yes, it's socially unacceptable. And then we completely avoid those uncomfortable moments and then create a lifetime of resentment in the process.
And I've got a couple of friends who are, generally speaking, women who are about 10 years older than me. So they're like early, mid 40s. And they've got kids and they've stopped doing any of this shit. So, and I've got a friend, I won't name her, but she's so brilliant, because if you say to her, do you want to go for a drink on Tuesday? She'll be like, no. And she doesn't feel the need to explain it anymore. She doesn't, and I think maybe that's because she's had 2 kids. She's had a lot of friendships. She's had more life experience than I have. And if I say like, oh, it'd be really fun if we all went out, you know, if we all went on a trip together with the kids, she'll be like, no, we've tried that and it doesn't work for us. And then we don't, and it's, I just admire it so much. And I want to get better at doing that. I do think parenthood does it for a lot of mums.
It does. And also age. I mean, I definitely would have self-identified as a people pleaser. And it's definitely still in me in certain places and relationships. But I also found once I turned 40, I let go of so much. You just give less of a shit.
Yeah.
You know? And I've got 3 kids and I'm 46 and I'm kind of done in the majority of places of people pleasing or paying lip service to things. And I'm much more comfortable saying No, but I'm not comfortable with the word rude. Like if anybody described me as rude, I'd be absolutely devastated. So when you're talking about this, what I'm hearing is it's about setting boundaries rather than being rude, right? You set your boundaries and nobody can cross the boundary because that's what you've set and it's not rude. It's just this is what works for
But
me.
somebody will, you internally have to have your metrics about what is rude and what isn't. For me, I had to just say, I'm going to embrace the power of rude because I know people are going to say it about me if I behave in a way that feels appropriate to me. And I have to be like, fine, cool, say it. I know I can sleep at night. I know that I'm being reasonable. I'm not just using therapized language to get what I want. I'm not saying, I'm sorry, I can't pay you back that 20 quid because my boundaries say that I need the money. I'm not saying, like, you need to come to my house and bring me pizza because my boundaries say I need that. My boundaries are reasonable. I know they are. Therefore, if someone calls me rude, I go, cool, fine.
Rebecca, for people that want to get hold of your book, how, where can they find it? What's it called? Remind them, please, and how can they find out more about your work?
So it's called The Power of Rude, and you can get it on Amazon. Your library can get it for you if you want to go. If you're taking the kids to the library, you can put it downstairs and ask them to order it in for you, and they will. Or your local bookshop if you're having one of those nice bougie days where you go to the butchers and the bookshop, and then you feel like a really good person. And I am re at Rebecca CN Reed on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere else, and I write a column for the iPaper. So if you would like to hear more of me talking complete nonsense, then that is the best place to find it.
I'm just going to say, if you are on Twitter, then please do follow Rebecca because it's like makes your day, a tweet. They are great.
Thank you so much for being on Self Care Club. It's been an absolute joy chatting
Thank you
to
for
you.
having me. It's been really, really fun.
This episode is sponsored by Horizon Studios.
If you're traveling this year and looking for high quality, sustainable and beautifully designed luggage, then look no further than Horizon Studios, who've launched two new ranges. The RE Series, the world's most sustainable 97% recycled luggage, and now the revolutionary Air Series, the world's lightest high-end suitcase.
If you have airport anxiety, worrying about the weight of your case when it goes on those scales, then the Air Series is for you and it is definitely for me. The Air Series pushes the boundaries of travel. Each detail is designed and engineered to combine an ultralight and durable product. It's significantly lighter than regular suitcases. Thank goodness, Lauren, that is brilliant. And it comes with a lifetime warranty because the most sustainable suitcase is the one that you only buy once. We used the cases to go to Paris and Wales last year, and as chronic overpackers, we could still wheel them around with ease.
We could. Ultra light and compact, the Air Series is made from a premium polycarbonate hard shell with reduced thickness and a recycled lining. It's 100% vegan and produced in a way that is 99% waste-free, blending design and function seamlessly. So, Nicole, you can pack those extra 5 pairs of shoes with no stress.
The entire range is available on the Horizon Studios website and in all leading department stores. Just go to www.horizon-studios.com.
Horizon Studios. Let's go further.
This week, we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research scripts and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple, and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it, you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/self-care club.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/self-care club, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
Notion.com/self-care club.
A great chat.
It really was a great chat. I found her totally fascinating. And I liked the way that she is, I guess, reclaiming the word rude.
Yeah, I like the way that she moves assertively, assertively through the world,
with confidence and stands on her own two feet. And I do, I relate because I was often called gobby in my younger years.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Gobby?
Yeah.
I can't imagine you being gobby. At all.
My father's nickname for me for my entire childhood and teenage years was Big Mouth. Big Mouth. Ask her, Big Mouth. In the metaphorical, not the literal sense. But they're both are true.
I work with you very closely, and I would never, ever describe you ever as gobby or having a big mouth.
Well, I mellowed a lot.
How come? What happened?
I don't know. Age. But I often, you know, I'm listening to Rebecca and I'm having that whole chat and I'm like, yeah, I was so like that. And I'm so not like that anymore.
What did change?
Age, children. I've mellowed. Basically, what's happened is the older I've become, the more mellowed I've become. And, you know, I've been with Ollie since I was pretty much 19-ish. So he knew me as incredibly forthright, very, you know, I think some people would have said intimidating and very out there and very just didn't give a shit. Whatever I said, it came out of my mouth. And the older I got, the less like that I have become.
Mm. You become more filtered, don't you? But I think in a positive way, one can become more filtered because my dad always used to say, oh, you'll never die of stress because if it's on my lung, it's on my tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
And whilst I still have a lot of opinions and I still feel very strongly about what I think and speaking my truth and saying what I think, I know when to speak it or when not to, when to basically shut the fuck up and when to push forward. I think you learn that with age, don't you?
Yeah, yes, I think so. I've just become less outspoken, which is very surprising because I didn't think I would change that much. But when I really think about it, I have quite a bit.
And is there a part of you that would like to step back into that gobby, big mouth version of you or not really?
Not really. Not really. I was very... I was always described as like a Marmite. It's like you will either love her or you will just not be able to stand her because I just wasn't movable.
Wow.
Like that was my opinion and that was the end of it.
Okay.
Take it, leave it.
Right.
Fuck off, be my friend. I don't care.
Were you ever described as rude, do you think?
I mean, I would imagine I probably must have been at some point. But to me now, the thought of ever being described as rude, I feel almost allergic to that thought.
Me too, by the way.
I couldn't stand it if someone described me as rude, and I will often put myself out and go out of my way so I am not thought of as rude.
Also, I worked in the service industry for 30 years, and I've had people, many people, being very, very rude to me or to my colleagues. I've seen it so often that people come in and are just blatantly rude, abrasive, aggressive, all the things. And again, I love your phrase of I'm allergic to that. And it did absolutely make me allergic to being thought of as that person. I don't think that's in my nature. I've always been opinionated and strong-minded, yes. But rude? No. And I like that Rebecca is reclaiming it, rebranding it, but I still think that it is never appropriate or helpful or useful to be rude.
I agree. Assertive, fine. Confident, fine.
Direct.
All good.
Yes.
But actually rude, no, I'm not okay with that.
But do you think in society as women that being assertive, direct, straightforward, opinionated can also be tarnished with being rude?
Yes, but I find rude men as abhorrent as rude women.
Oh my God, of course. But I also think that when I was younger, I wouldn't have noticed a rude man versus a rude woman as quickly.
Interesting. Why?
I guess I just would allow more space for it. I feel uncomfortable saying that, but it's true. And I don't know where that's even coming from.
That's interesting.
That feels very conditioning. Why? That's not coming from, I think that's only coming from societal expectations. It's speaking up for yourself, isn't it? And whether that in society is considered rude. It's saying your opinions, standing in your truth, being direct, being assertive, as we said. Is that considered rude and why? And how can we remove ourselves from that? Because if we sit in the, oh my God, they're going to think I'm rude, then we're never going to be able to go for the things that we want.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a matter of tone. Like you could say lots of things confidently and assertively. And one tone, the way you say it with one tone could be perceived as rude and another tone not.
Totally. I always say to my kids, charm will get you everywhere.
Absolutely everywhere. And it costs nothing to be kind and it costs nothing to be polite. And these are like basic kid rules.
You know? They're basic people rules.
Yeah, but you've got to learn them early. Otherwise, you turn to a rude adult.
It's a tough one. It's really interesting because I said in the interview about Adam being direct.
Yeah.
And sometimes if we're away or we're out for dinner or we're out doing something and Adam isn't happy, for whatever reason, and he is perfectly within his rights, the kids will often say, oh my God, he's going to be rude now. And I have to say, he is never rude. He is never rude because that's not part of his nature. And I couldn't be married to a man that was rude. But he is so direct. And that is quite jarring. But
so
why? Dolly. But why is it jarring? Why is that jarring? I don't really understand why I find it so.
It's either jarring because even maybe subconsciously there's a part of you and me, because Ollie's exactly the same, that is a little bit envious of that they're able to move through the world and behave in that way, and we feel that we can't, or we're not comfortable doing that, or it's just that we are so conditioned to not behave like that it feels jarring to witness.
I also find it fascinating that he doesn't care how he's perceived to this stranger. Of course, why should he care?
Yeah.
But I'm always fascinated about the fact that he doesn't. And I sometimes ask him, how do you not care? Because I would care, and that would basically inform every part of that scenario in how I behave. So teach me how to not care. And he's like, well, I just don't.
Yeah.
And that's when I think, I think it's your messaging and my messaging are so different.
Yeah.
Have you got any examples of when you've been rude or when you've been scared about being rude, or and how have you moved through it?
Well, I've got a current sitch.
Oh, current sitch. Love those.
Which I'm feeling a little uncomfortable about.
Go on.
I've been invited to a 50th. We have been invited to a 50th. It's in the countryside.
How far away?
Oh, it's like an hour 45
in the car. That's a long way. That's like a weekend away distance.
But it's not a weekend away thing. It's just a kind of cocktail starting at 5-6 and then going into the evening, a dinner, and then like coming home thing. And it's not
4 hours in the car.
Yeah,
that's so long.
And it also means one of us can't drink, and it's not really near like a train place, and it's not really someone that close. It's like,
so you're not close enough to make a whole weekend of it?
No. It's like a friend of Ollie's.
Right, okay.
And not a good friend.
Okay.
But also, I just feel really rude saying no.
So cool. And why do you feel, let's unpack it.
It's not a very big party. So there's not a lot of people coming. So it's very nice of them to have invited us. Oh, okay.
So it's quite an intimate crowd.
Yeah, it's not like 100 people, so it's very nice of them to have invited us, and the truth is I don't want to go because it's a whole schlep. Like if it was in London and it was convenient, I'd probably go.
I understand all of that. It's got logic all around it.
Yeah.
So tell me where the piece about you being rude comes in.
It feels a little ungrateful to me, and it feels rude because I can't really tell the truth.
Truth being,
I can't be bothered to come because it's like a 4 hour schlep in the car and you're like not really great close friends of ours, and I don't really want to spend my whole day going.
And I don't really understand why you've invited us.
You know?
I mean, you can be truthful, but in a graceful, loving way.
E.g.?
Okay, let me think about it. Thank you so much for the gorgeous invite. I'm actually really touched that you asked, but we can't make that night.
Yeah, just no excuse, basically.
My dad always says...
Say less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to get out of something, the more you say, the worse you make it.
I totally agree with him.
So don't give a whole list of excuses and reasons, because actually it's not any of their business.
Actually, I don't know if I've got a car that day. And then on the Sunday morning,
yeah,
we've actually got to take Josh to tennis. And so we really can't have a late night.
Because they don't really care.
No, they don't care. They just want a yes or a no so they can tell the caterers.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but thank you so much. It sounds like it's going to be a gorgeous evening, and I'm really sorry to say that we can't make it.
Yeah, I just feel rude.
Would that feel rude?
That doesn't feel rude. I just feel rude not going because I know why I'm not going. Yeah. You know,
okay.
I can't bother with all the small talk. I don't really want to drive for 4 hours. It's just not what I want to do. And also, there's a part of me, it's like, I'm too old now to have to go and do stuff that I don't want to do. Basically, I feel like there's two kinds of rudeness. There's one where you're directly rude to somebody in a conversation. And then is there another kind of rude where you are rude by omission? For example, I feel quite rude currently because there is this couple that have invited us over a few times and I haven't invited them back. And I said to Ollie this morning, I'm feeling really rude that we haven't invited them back. I think I'm going to invite them over Easter. Now, I don't massively want to. I'm sort of doing it to not be rude. Do you know what I mean?
So maybe this is what Rebecca's talking about, the power of rude. So stepping into what is possibly considered in society as, in inverted commas, rude, and bulking from that and doing something different, standing up in something different for yourself. Because if you don't want to invite them over, don't. It is on them that they have invited you. That's up to them. That's their choice. That's very nice. But there's like this silent contract that, by the way, you haven't signed, where they invite you, you invite them. They invite you, you invite them. It's like, it's ridiculous.
It is, but it's also like an unspoken societal rule.
I know
rule,
it is.
It?
And can I tell you something?
Yeah.
It's been on my mind that because I owe you a dinner.
Oh my God.
No, but I'm serious.
Yeah, but like, what is that? What is that?
What is that?
I don't mean with you personally, but like, what is that thing?
I think I've been over to your house for dinner twice and I haven't invited you back yet.
Okay, but A, I'm like never thinking about that, mainly because I see you pretty much every day of my life.
B, I do feed you three times a week. But I don't feed Ollie.
That's okay. I feed Ollie, so he's fed.
No, but what I mean is, it's different, you and Ollie coming over for dinner and we open a bottle of wine and I make a nice meal. It's very different to me throwing on a scrambled egg or a salad.
Okay, but I'm not like sitting with my diary open thinking, wow, I can't believe she hasn't reciprocated that invite. And but, probably neither are these people either, right?
But exactly, but you're highlighting something that we're all in fear of that would never happen. Because it has gone through my mind, like, I must invite Lauren and Ollie back. Not because I haven't not done it because I don't want to. I just haven't got around to it. Of course I want you over for dinner.
But I don't really want these people over for dinner. That's what I'm saying to you.
But there's nothing that is saying that you have to, apart from your own fear of being perceived as rude in society.
And also, by the way, when I mentioned it to Ollie, he was like, sure, have them or don't have them. But it's not like taking up his headspace, whether it's rude or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he doesn't have to because you take the mental load for him. You probably, what, do you sort your diet, your social diary out for the two
of
you?
Most of the time, right. Yeah.
So do I. Yeah. So Adam doesn't have to think about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to think about what all the polite things are to do and what the social cues and what is right and what is wrong, because I take that mental load. He doesn't. Mm. He doesn't ever think like, if we're going to someone's 50th and we haven't got a gift, or you know,
totally,
all that shit, or if I'm going to someone's for dinner and I need to go and get a bunch of flowers, he doesn't. And if I didn't get the bunch of flowers, it wouldn't occur to him that we are walking in empty handed. He doesn't care.
Navigating social niceties is quite a large part of the mental load of being a female adult.
And can I also say something? It's also very expensive.
All of it is very expensive.
Because if you think about it, when you go to someone's house, you take a gift.
Always.
When it's someone's birthday and they've invited you out, you take a gift.
Always.
If
you're invited to a party, a you take a gift.
Yeah, even probably, if they say no gifts.
And you've probably got taxis there and back, or babysitters that you're outfits. Paying for. Yes, that as well. And if you're inviting people over for dinner, food is really expensive.
Yeah, it is really expensive.
Yeah.
And I often think about this, that being polite in society, which, by the way, I want to be, and I want to do all of the correct social things, but it is expensive.
Yeah.
So what's that about? So me and my friend years ago, a very, very, very old close friend, we both said, right, we are not, when we go to each other's houses, we are not to take a gift. Even
great
if you
rule.
Invite us over for Christmas Day or you invite us over for a Sunday tea, it doesn't matter. We're not doing it.
Great rule.
No, she didn't stick to it.
Not good.
So I fucking did. She fucking didn't.
Right.
And then when she walked in with a gift, I was like, what are you doing? She goes, oh, it's a little something. I'm like, but we said no. And now I feel awful because I walked into your house without the gift. And now I feel rude.
Yes.
So then the next time I went to her house, guess what? I took a gift.
Of course you did. So we were planning this dinner, three girlfriends and me were planning this dinner, and we were deciding where to go, somewhere that was kind of central to all of us. And one of the girls put on the group, oh, I really want to try this place. And she put up a review from the paper. And you know, the review normally has like a breakdown of what the reviewer ate and then the cost of the meal, right? And it said average £96 £96 a head, three courses, no drinks.
Oh no.
And I thought,
it's a Thursday night.
And I thought, I'm sorry. I'm like, I am not just going along with this for the ride. Because she's quite wealthy. One of the other girls going was quite wealthy. I don't know the financial status of the third girl. But I thought, I'm not going to spend £96 on myself, not including a glass of wine.
But even if you are wealthy, it doesn't matter. It's about wanting to put that amount, that serious amount of money on a midweek meal.
I know, not even a special occasion. So I replied and I said, sorry, that is...
Sorry.
I said, sorry.
But there's an apology.
I started, sorry, that is extortionate. I will be wanting a drink or two. I cannot spend £96 on a Thursday night meal. And that was fine. So we agreed to go somewhere else. But I just thought, I don't know if that was rude or not rude.
I think it was rude for her to put that as a suggestion.
I think she just didn't think about it.
Well, I think that's rude because I think you should, because then it puts people in a position
where they have to say something.
I'm going out with some school mums in a couple of weeks. And someone made a suggestion. Two girls made two different suggestions of where to go. Mm-hmm. And everyone on the group said, I don't mind. Right? Which is pretty standard. Yeah. And I thought, well, I've been to the one place. I'd really like to try the other place because I've never tried it. So I said, my vote is... No, actually, I didn't. I said, I don't mind, but if I had a preference, obviously I do mind.
Yeah. Yeah,
right? But so scared to say that I mind.
Of course.
If I had a preference, I would like to go for the Turkish. And then after I put that, someone else then wrote, I don't mind, I'm happy with either. And then I felt as if I shouldn't have said that.
Because you stated a preference.
And is that rude? You know, is a woman allowed to state a preference? Anyway, we are going to the other place, so that's totally irrelevant. But I thought, I don't know these women that well. Trust me, if someone had put a recommendation for £96, I would have said, sorry, I'm out. You guys go, I'll catch you next time. No way.
Well, I did say no.
So I think this is more about boundaries, isn't it?
Boundaries, social niceties, what's drilled into us about the sort of correct, in inverted commas, way to behave and how to navigate all this stuff without being perceived as rude. And are you even being perceived as rude? Probably not most of the time.
Do you know, if I was in a coaching session now, the homework would be to go out and to be rude like 3 to 5 times during the week just to see how it feels.
If someone's rude to you, are you rude back? Like, let's say you're in a car parking situation. You're waiting for a space and someone takes the space, blatantly takes the space and knew you were waiting and that's rude. And then maybe gives you a dirty look. Are you rude back or do you just gloss over it?
I wouldn't do that in the car because you just don't know what... I don't want to put myself in an unsafe position.
Okay.
So there's that. If someone speaks to me rudely, I will note it, but I'm not always good off the mark. I will come away and think that was actually really rude. So I always kind of need a bit of a minute.
Mm.
And then sometimes I think, oh, I wish I'd have said such and such. But really, fighting rude with rude is just not going to get you anywhere anyway.
Mm.
What about you?
I've had a couple of episodes of, I'm going to call it road rage. I mean, that's probably a bit of an exaggeration. But if someone would have a go at me out the window, I really will let rip back.
But she's that's very unlike me. But that's also it? Quite dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it in a dark. They could get a machete out. I wouldn't do it in a dark alley in a car with four guys in it. You know, if some woman cuts me up on the school run and sticks two fingers out the window at me, I will. Oh, no. I will have something.
So would
about
I.
That.
No, so would I.
Yeah.
What about if someone is rude to you? If you're in a shop or you're in a restaurant, or what if one of your friends is rude to you?
I'm laughing because I'm remembering being in the shop with my friend. I think it might have been Whistles. It was a long time ago. And she put on this coat. It was like a spring, you know, rain jacket thing. And it had these togs at the front to kind of tighten the waist. And she wasn't particularly talking to the woman who was working in the shop. She was like, What are these things? Like, what even are they for? And the woman who worked in the shop turned, she went, it's called fashion. And I just thought, like, we still say it now. It's called fashion. It was
now that is blatantly rude.
That's so rude. So rude. But also so funny. Because what are you supposed to say back to that? Oh, obviously I'm not cool enough to shop in here. I'd better leave. You're going to buy the coat after that.
You're never going to make a purchase after your shop assistant has spoken to you.
How
that
funny
way.
Is well, that?
Not that
though.
The shop assistant in Bristol probably cares whether you make the purchase or not.
It was just absolutely brilliant. So rude.
So rude.
And also, how uncomfortable do you feel as the customer? And you're like, oh, I didn't realise.
But then, would
it
you
was
be
fashion?
Like perfectly within your rights to say,
I'm sorry?
No, not yeah. even, no, I'm not apologising.
No, not I'm sorry as in I'm sorry.
Like, excuse
in,
me?
Like, yeah.
But would you be within your rights to say that was actually very uncalled for and very rude? Because then you would then be perceived as the rude one.
I was in the shop and I definitely didn't say that.
But would you have liked to?
No, because to me it was so funny. It wasn't a reason to like start a Barney in the shop.
But you see,
but I can't let it go because it was such a, like, it's so blatantly, unnecessarily rude.
But it's interesting that you say it wasn't a reason to start a Barney, because is there ever a reason? And is that ever a good way of handling it?
No.
Because it just again gets aggressive. And what's the point? What is the point?
I don't know. It's been like over 10 years and I've still never forgotten
it's
it.
Brilliant. But I have a thing that when someone is rude to me, a shop assistant or a waiter or whoever, I then have to win them over. So then I'm like so nice and so charming. And, you know, I always pride myself
What's
on being...
What's that about?
I don't know. Because I pride myself on being really good with people.
Right.
So if someone like doesn't like me, mm. I can't be with it. It's like, no, you don't understand me.
I'm really nice.
People love me.
I'm
so
really
you're gonna love me too. So then I work really hard at getting them to love me.
Like a Labrador.
It's not really for their validation, it's more for my own. Like to keep proving to myself that
everyone likes me.
No, it's not that oh, I can win everyone over. Like when I say to my kids, you know, charming will just get you everywhere. Mm. And I really do live by that.
Mm. Like kill with kindness.
Kill with kindness and just, yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, I think the synopsis is, I don't think it's ever okay to be rude, but I think it's really important to know when to be assertive, direct, speak your mind, speak up for yourself and speak your truth.
And also don't go to a shop unless you understand fashion.
We will be back on Friday for a weekly wellness roundup show. We'll be back on Wednesday for our midweek meltdown. You want to come and see us on all our channels. All the links are in our show notes. That's where you can go and click on Amazon to find our book. And if you want to be in touch, please do. We love hearing from you. Hello at theselfcareclub.co.uk. And we'll be back on Wednesday.
See you then.